We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Aikman is intercepted by Sam Mills.
Steve Smith is going to go all the way. Panthers win in overtime.
Newton steps up, goes for the end zone. Olsen, touchdown. Brian Burns to the house.
This one is picked again. Intercepted by Boston.
Bridgewater. Throw into the end zone. Touchdown!
Samuel still on his feet inside the five to the end zone. Touchdown! What a play!
And it is caught for the touchdown by Moore.
And in the foot race, McCaffrey to the end zone.
Keep pounding on three. One, two, three.
Keep pounding.
Panthers fans, welcome back. It's another edition of the Roar Podcast. John Ellis, Billy Marshall back at it after a couple weeks off here. Got a lot going on around the NFL, and Billy and I are here for the next half hour or so to break things down for you from the Panthers' end. Billy, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you?
Very good, man. A lot going on around the league. Of course, as we record this on a Tuesday night here, the franchise deadline came and went. And I guess we can dive right into it with Taylor Moten getting the tag. We saw some reporting come out from several sources today that this was expected to happen, and saw a post by Bill Voth from Panthers.com mentioning that this was, you know, not a big surprise. I don't think either one of us are shocked here that this was something they needed to do. Just your thoughts as we kick the show off here on Taylor Moten sticking around for at least one more year.
Yeah, very pleased. I think it's a player that they had to place a priority on one way or the other. Obviously, you want a long-term deal, but this is the next best solution. And it's very, I guess, satisfying that he's going to be here at least next year. And they have until July 15th, which is plenty of time to wrap up a long-term deal. So, you know, I'm going to remain a little optimistic that that is the direction that they will go in. Because again, he is one of the best right tackles in the league, and you'd never want to lose a quality tackle. I don't care if you're on the left side or the right side. It's all the same in this day and age. We only have to go back to 2015 to see Von Miller lining up on the right side of the offensive line and really terrorizing the Panthers. So yeah, no, it's a, I mean, we expected it to happen, so I'm glad it did happen. Now let's try to transition and get the long-term deal done, hopefully.
No doubt about it. He allowed 3 sacks last year. Was a rock-solid guy. Played over 1,000 snaps, of course, and, you know, is just consistently, since coming into league in 2017, been just emerging as a rock solid right tackle. And I think it was vital, as you and I have talked about, for this team to solidify at least one of those two sides. Now, where will they go? Left tackle, obviously Russell Okung will be moving on, it looks like. And you've got Greg Little, who is not quite, you know, emerged as we hoped. A lot of stock was put into that pick and it just hasn't emerged. I guess we can start there as we continue to evaluate this roster. They've got the right side locked up. Now, questions remain along the entire offensive line. I've got some thoughts on it, but let's open it up to you. What do you think in terms of left tackle and even on the interior? Where do they go from here?
Yeah, it's really tough to know because even looking at the free agent market, it doesn't really look very enticing. Even a guy like a young guy like Cam Robinson, who's about average to maybe a below or above, depending on who you speak with, he got the franchise tag today. And after that, it's just a bunch of like solid to good players who are in their 30s, like an Okung, like a Trent Williams, like an Alejandro Villanueva. Jason Peters is, I don't know, he's 39 years old. I'm really not sure that's the direction they should be going in. But then after that, it's just like a bunch of development and, you know, backup tackles on the market. So I don't really think you can address this position in free agency. I mean, obviously, I'm sure they're going to look for depth or someone cheap. But for me, this is a position that they have to go into the draft and look. I mean, look, if they're going to go out, I just don't think they're going to sign Trent Williams. Let's just be clear about that. Yeah. Villanueva would be a fine option, but it's like, how much better is he than Okung? And why would not just bring back Okung if you're going to sign a 33-year-old left tackle? Because they're the same age. So this seems like a position that it's going to have to, they're going to have to figure something out internally on the roster, whoever it is, or the draft. And I think the draft is probably the best next option, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so. And a lot of questions remain. We're going to dive into the quarterback situation because it very much ties into what their plans could be in the draft, whether or not they go number 8 with a quarterback, whether or not they trade that pick away for a Deshaun Watson or somebody else to get maybe to the top 3. Or do they sit there and take somebody like Rashawn Slater, who had a great day today in terms of pro day? Christian Darrisaw from Virginia Tech, another name that comes to mind. Sewell from Oregon.
Obviously. Yeah, I like both of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, these are just some names that we all know about, and they're testing well. Obviously, the combine not being in the mix this year does hurt with the evaluation, but it's encouraging to see some of this going on. And you posted something about, you know, going to the interior part of the line, Quinn Menerz. I think I spied a very familiar face there at his workout today.
Yeah, the offensive line coach. This is what I usually do, by the way. Most of my followers know I like to stock these pro days and look for Panthers personnel. Yeah. Been doing it for years. Obviously, last year didn't work out because of the pandemic, but now that the pro days are back in action, this is something I'm going to be doing. I'm posting a lot more about which Panthers coaches and scouts are at these pro days, particularly coaches, because that gives you a better idea of what positions they're looking for. So, yeah, the Panthers offensive line coach, Pat Meyer, who I believe he was at the Senior Bowl. I know they had a couple of coaches not there. Right. But and Miners was, if you know for sure, fact check me, but I think he was on the Dolphins team during the Senior Bowl week. But regardless, very exciting prospect that, I mean, I watched him at the Senior Bowl just completely dominate higher level of competition. And now, again, Division III guy, probably a day 2 draft pick, but I mean, the interior is also a position they got to address in one way or the other. I mean, the left guard, who knows what's going to happen with Chris Reed. I mean, the right guard, I don't know. Like, obviously, the John Miller acquisition was fine. And I think, you know, he should keep his spot if he wants. And center, it's the last year of the deal for Paradis. So it's going to be interesting to see how they figure it out. I feel like this roster in particular, they're really going to have to find creative ways to not just address their holes, but find out and bring in more competition. And that really kind of addresses a lot of the areas of concern that you might have in different areas of the team.
Sure. And they've got a boatload of guys that are going to hit the free agent market here, including Chris Reed, you mentioned. You've got some other guys that are, you know, looking at potential departures. You mentioned Russell Okung. Tyler Larson is a free agent, a reserve guard center who has shown some value over the years. So they're going to have to, you know, obviously make some decisions here coming up soon as to who they retain. John Miller's on that list too. I mean, so you've got two guards that you relied on heavily, particularly in the run game with Reed, who are coming up in free agency here. I just don't know what direction they'll go in. It's fascinating to see all this come together in year two for Matt Rhule, because we talked about year one. You and I started this podcast last summer, and we had questions about some things they were doing on the roster, and I think we liked some of the things they're doing on the roster back then. But you've got, obviously, the buzz right now is quarterback. I mean, let's just go right to it. I mean, it's been a while since you and I have talked. We discussed things after the Senior Bowl. You and I talked with Stephen Ruiz, Sam Farmer, had a couple good conversations there about the Stafford potential deal, and Deshaun Watson remains, I guess, to many a pipe dream. But hey, look, we've seen good reporting that indicates Dave Tepper is very much in this in terms of trying to make this thing work. Give me a reset from your angle, Billy. Where do you stand on Carolina's quarterback conundrum right now? Obviously, Bridgewater is not in good favor. They're trying to unload that contract. Where are you at with quarterbacks right now?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm still where I'm at when we last spoke, because it's so difficult to really just get a read on what they're trying to do. They want Deshaun Watson, but the Houston Texans aren't just going to like let him go. And I don't know. Like, a lot of the reporting that I've seen suggests that Houston isn't inclined to deal him before the draft.
Yeah.
So that puts you in a quagmire. Like, yeah, like obviously you want Deshaun Watson, but
yeah,
what are you going to do if you don't get him before the draft? Are you going to roll with Bridgewater? Right. Are you going to trade up for a QB? Are you going to? I just feel like they shouldn't center their offseason around acquiring Deshaun Watson, because it's such a big fish that if you don't catch it, then everything else goes to hell.
Right.
Totally. Because if you don't get Deshaun Watson and you're planning on it, you have to seriously pivot quickly to option B. And I just feel like Deshaun Watson is just such a, I don't want to say it's a pipe dream. I just feel like it's very difficult for this franchise to do that. I don't want to be put in a position where you're scrambling at the last minute and taking overdrafting a quarterback or signing another quarterback you shouldn't be signing. So my own kind of judgment suggests that they are looking at a variety of options. That's why they were in the Stafford sweepstakes, and that's why they're in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. And I don't know, like, let's see who else becomes available. If not, then they really should pivot to the draft, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right, Billy. You know, I've been on the record saying that I think that they've got a pretty decent chance to land Watson, just based on the fact that Dave Tepper, from good reporting from guys like Albert Breer, Peter King, Joe Person, have all sort of, you know, again, you don't know the whole story. Nobody really does. But they've all made the point that, look, Dave Tepper is very much trying to make a push for this deal. And again, there's a lot of hurdles to climb here. But I also think you raise a great point in that the timing is critical here for Carolina. They have a top 10 pick. There are some very good quarterbacks I want to talk with you about here in that mix here, including Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance. I don't think Trevor Lawrence is anywhere in the conversation right now for many reasons. And, of course, Mac Jones is getting a lot of buzz right now. So I guess we'll dive into it from this angle. Where would you lean? Now, let's just say this Watson thing doesn't happen pre-draft. I have no sense that it's going to lean one way or another. I really don't. I don't think anybody really knows. We're all just guessing right now. I think it would be smart for Houston to come to their senses and realize we got to get in this mix now. There's no way he's going to play for us. I don't think there's any way he's coming back to play for him. I think he'll sit out as long as he needs to. He's a very principled guy, Billy. But assuming this doesn't happen the way Carolina presumably wants it to happen, and this thing lingers into the summer, they've got to draft a quarterback, I think, in this top 10. Do you not agree?
I mean, absolutely. I mentioned this back in January, but it just doesn't seem like a possibility at this point. And what I was mentioning was running it back with Bridgewater. That just seems like it's not going to happen, period. Which, fair enough. I mean, they don't want to do that, then that's their prerogative. But the reason I said that is because this team has, in my opinion, this team has plenty of holes. And I mean, I'm just looking at these free agent lists. I mean, three out of the five guys in the offensive line are most likely gone. Actually, three out of five. So they have to figure out, again, I'm going to be very fascinated with how they deal with their limited number of assets and how they're going to, you know, fix this roster. And so, yes, I think the quarterback in the draft would make a lot of sense. But you're going to have to trade up. And most likely that's a situation where I think there are a couple teams within that top eight that would be inclined to do it. I think Philadelphia, we heard some reporting that they want to ride with Jalen Hurts next year. I mean, Cincinnati, obviously, who knows? I mean, they're going to ride with Joe Burrow, of course, so they might be an option to trade down. And then Miami, I think, is the other option, getting ahead of Atlanta potentially.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like quarterback has to be – you're not going to get Deshaun Watson, which I don't think they will, before the draft, and they might get him another time. I just feel like you have to really figure out a way to address this. And, I mean, looking at the free agent market, I don't really see any enticing QBs. I mean, Jameis is probably staying with the Saints. Yeah. So draft it is.
Yeah, draft it is. And let's talk about that for a minute, because you hear a lot of buzz from a lot of people about starting quarterbacks. You know, the consensus, I think, is Trevor Lawrence is the best quarterback in this draft. You hear a few people say that Zach Wilson is the best quarterback in this draft. The thing I've said all along is different strokes for different folks, Billy. You know, people are inclined to have their own opinion.
Yeah, that's
totally nothing wrong with that. As far as what Carolina can do here, you look at the draft order. I mean, obviously the Jets and Dolphins are 2 and 3. Now, are the Dolphins going to be in a position to want to trade back and keep Tua and, you know, maybe go with a guy like Chase in the first round if he's available, or a Pitts, somebody that can, you know, help the young quarterback out? Will they go offensive tackle? The Bengals are sitting there at 5 as well with a quarterback of the future. Atlanta, it's hard to know what Atlanta wants to do. There's a lot of speculation they're going to go quarterback. So I think it's going to take, you know, a lot of forethought and a lot of, you know, it's going to take some nimble work by Scott Fitterer and Matt Rhule on draft night if they don't make a trade pre-draft to move up. Because to me, Mac Jones, let's talk about Mac for a minute. Okay, I just want to see the elephant in the room right now. He's getting a lot of run right now, a lot of publicity and a lot of favor in terms of some of the analysts out there, whom I respect, Chris Sims being one. You know, Chris does good work, but he's really pushing Mac to Carolina. It seems to be a narrative that's picking up. Mike Tannenbaum has been another. And I've been on record as to say, look, from what I've seen from Mac Jones, and I'm not as qualified as these people, but I do my homework, I just don't know if I see the complete package that I would prefer for a quarterback in my mind, what I'd want to run in terms of having some athleticism, being able to break the pocket and do things out of structure that Mac clearly cannot do as well as Lance, as Fields, as Wilson, or Lawrence. So help me understand what are people seeing in Mac Jones from your perspective that would be that would qualify him to be the 8th overall pick for Carolina?
Yeah, I truly don't know what they're seeing in him. I mean, there's certain traits that he has that do translate, especially into like a Kyle Shanahan scheme. I mean, he has really good footwork. His pocket mobility is actually pretty good, and that means he's able to find little spaces in the pocket and move his feet to create, you know, throwing lanes and step up into throw. So that's a positive trait. But he just does not have the arm strength and the ability to create off script. And I don't think you. I mean, it's very similar to Bridgewater in some respects. Yeah. So, I mean, again, it might be less athletic than Bridgewater in my opinion. Actually, I mean, that should be kind of taken as a fact at this point that Mac Jones is less athletic than Teddy. Right. So like, it's just, I don't know, like there's some traits that he has that kind of, I can see the appeal of it, but it's, I don't know. It's nothing better than a second round pick. And I mean, the other guys obviously aren't perfect either, especially Wilson and Fields and Lance. So I'm not going to sit here and act as if they're the gods, like Chris Sims is, you know, calling Zach Wilson Mahomes and Rodgers, which if that's the case, then that's like one of the best quarterbacks of all time.
A little bit of hyperbole there.
Yeah, no, I mean, some of his takes, while I appreciate his level of analysis, and I think that it's always good to hear different opinions. I think there's a little bit of hindsight bias going on with, you know, how he's performed in recent years judging quarterbacks. Right. But yeah, no, I think that Mac Jones does not really make sense for this team unless they're trading back.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. I mentioned this earlier. I had a little chat with some folks on Twitter this morning about Mac Jones, and made it very clear that I just don't think he's a top 10 guy. I think he's a middle of the first, back into the first round guy. And that's based on a number of factors, and including very much what you said, the inability to create out a structure as much as you'd like in the current NFL environment, where you need a quarterback, in my view. And again, different strokes for different folks, but I'd like to see a quarterback who can make all the throws. And I don't know if Mac can necessarily do that. Now, he's a great processor, and he's very quick, got good feet, as you said, but you get him out of the pocket. If you're booting or whatever, I just don't see enough volume there from his days at Alabama to make a good eval on what he can do. And honestly, he's worked with the best of the best in terms of weapons at Alabama. And I'm not trying to ding him for that, but let's just be fair. It's going to be a different game when he gets to the next level here. So I just think that, to me, sends up a little bit of a red flag. I just don't see, you know, compare him to a guy like, you know, Zach Wilson, who I don't compare him to Aaron Rodgers at this point, because I don't know what I'm getting there. But he's got great athleticism. He's very competitive. Obviously, he can do a great deal of stuff from the pocket and outside the pocket. I do like Trey Lance a lot, and I'll tell you why, because he runs a pro system, as you know. And
yeah, he would probably be my QB 2 or 3 at this point.
Two or three, yeah. And I like Fields as well. You know, there's a lot of talk about his processing limitations, but I think a little bit that's overhyped. Do I think he's as good of a processor as Mac Jones? Probably not. But I also think that's something you can improve upon. We heard a lot about that Cam Newton when he came into the league. Obviously, Cam became one of the better processors in the league as he matured. So I'm not too concerned about that. I just think this organization, you get one shot right now, Billy, whether it's Deshaun Watson, whether they trade for another veteran quarterback out there, or whether they draft one of these guys in the top, I don't see Mac Jones is hitting a home run with that one shot you have at 8. Because at 8, you can either get a guy who falls to 8, or you have at least an opportunity to trade up top 3 and nab one of these guys who I think would translate quite well into this current state of the league right now.
No, I totally agree with you, because, I mean, that's the thing about all these quarterbacks. You have to find a guy who's willing to elevate the surrounding talent. And like I said earlier, like, this team has holes. I mean, 3 out of the 5 guys on their offensive line are not going to be here next year. And one guy, the guy you just franchise tag, he doesn't have a long-term deal past 2021. Yeah. So you're in a situation where you really have to hit on this pick. And I don't feel like Mac Jones is the guy that will allow them to that will elevate the other players on the offense. So we'll see. I don't know. To me, it's the biggest decision this regime is going to have to make. I mean, you took Bridgewater and you signed him last year. Didn't work out. Fair enough. I mean, it's not too difficult to get out of the deal, and I'm sure some team could probably trade for him, but I mean, you got to figure out a way to hit on this pick. I mean, yeah, this is a good QB draft. I think the top 4 guys all have strengths in one way or the other. I have my preferences, but yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to follow.
Let's assume, just for a minute, going back to your conversation we had recently about Bridgewater, and I know this getting a little late in the game here in terms of the speculation on Teddy's departure, and I don't know where his brain's at. I don't know what type of mental makeup he has. I would assume that if he had to step in one more year and start, that it would be fine. There wouldn't be a big issue there. Let's assume for a minute they do that. Let's assume they just go BPA in the draft, or they trade back. Are there a couple players other than quarterbacks that stand out in your mind that might be available at 8 that this team should eyeball right now?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it earlier, the offensive tackles, Darisaw, Slater, if Sewell inexplicably drops, like, one of those 3, I think, would be a great pick at 8. I like Darisaw a little more than, well, actually, hold off on that. I want to see Darisaw's athletic testing first, because right now, I mean, this Slater guy looks like an athletic freak, kind of similar in some ways to Wirfs. But yeah, I think Slater would be, you know, an excellent pick. And I mean, if they go to a different route, I like Farley from the cornerback from Virginia Tech, and Surtain is a decent prospect. I don't think he's necessarily like, you know, a transcendent type corner. I have to study corners a little more, but it's right now, I think there's a ton of areas that they could look. And I think the first two, like I said, offensive tackle and corner, those are two premium positions. You're not going to find that type of talent in the top 10 of the draft. So if you really feel like you're going to roll with Bridgewater or find a QB in free agency, then I think those two options have to be considered.
Well, it's been a busy day. Again, we're getting into the meat of it. As I said earlier on Twitter, you know, the quiet before the storm was last week. And we all knew sort of the franchise deadline day would start to yield some movement here. And we've seen it around the league already today. Obviously, the Panthers franchising Taylor Moten. Dak gets his big contract in Dallas. And then you've got some moves here that look like, you know, you got some tight ends in particular heading to free agency. Jonnu Smith from Tennessee. Hunter Henry from the Chargers, whom I liked a lot. Are there any of these players? Kenny Galladay is another one. Are you assuming, you know, Curtis Samuel, I would sense at this point is probably moving on, but you will have to see. Any names stand out early on in free agency that you know of that ring a bell that might be worth looking at from Carolina's view?
Oh, great question. So, like I said, the left tackle market is not very attractive at all. No. So that's going to be something you have to address in the draft. Now, it's going to be, what positions do you think they should address? Tight end, you said. I like Jonnu Smith a little more than Henry. Henry seems like a fine player. I know that in 2016, I believe he was the other guy that they were considering in the first round.
Yeah.
I've read some reporting on that from Sal. I think Bill Voth was one guy who mentioned that Henry was going to be the alternate pick if Butler wasn't on the board or if they just wanted to go in a different direction. So I don't know, but the issue with Henry, in my opinion, is that he just gets injured a lot, and he has his injury history is a little concerning. So if they want to go for a veteran tight end, Rudolph wouldn't be a bad choice. I know he's up there in age, but again, I think you have to figure out a way to address this position. And I mean, Rudolph would be a fine choice. I mean, Hollister from Seattle, who has obviously familiarity with Fitter, I think he would be a sound choice. And I mean, we've seen what Jared Cook can do. I don't know how – he's probably going to be a little more expensive. Another kind of under-the-radar guy who's kind of similar to Jonnu Smith is Gerald Everett.
Yeah.
He's kind of an exciting, like, move tight end, really good receiver, athletic player.
Mm-hmm. Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
So I think there's actually some really good options in free agency at the tight end position, and that's something that they really have to address because they haven't done in recent years. Ian Thomas, I think could still has a role on this team, but as a primary tight end, I think that experiment is probably ended. So, it's so funny each year when free agency approaches, you have like this deadline day right before the tag and like all the really good players get tagged, like your Allen Robinsons, Chris Godwin and so on. So it's always interesting to kind of see the dichotomy of how the class looks before and after, like, the deadline day.
Yeah, no, I agree.
The economy is made up of real people doing real stuff, and it affects everything. Which you obviously know since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcasts.
I agree. And defensively, I mean, let's just take a quick glance at that, because we've been so enamored with the offensive side of the ball, Billy. All we seem to have talked about in the offseason is Deshaun Watson, what might be given up in terms of trade equity there. But then as we dive down to the draft, it's all offense, of course, I think, with the emphasis being on defense last year. In the draft, that makes sense. So, I mean, I guess if we look at what's going on defensively, you've got Rasul Douglas, a free agent. Corn Elder's a free agent. You don't have much at corner right now. Obviously, we talked in the draft. It stands out to you. I'll start. I think the corner situation, they've got to shore that up opposite Dante Jackson. I don't know if they kick Jackson in inside at some point. They keep him out wide. I like him outside personally. I think they've got to shore up that other position because I just don't think Douglas is it, Billy. I just don't. And also, the interior part of the defensive line. They've got Zach Kerr. They've got Derek Brown. Not too sold on Bravian Roy yet. He's a rookie, late-round pick, obviously. I think they've got to get deeper along the defensive line, particularly inside. But I'll kick it to you. Defensively, what are Carolina's biggest needs right now as we get in free agency in the draft?
No, you're spot on with that analysis. I mean, each time you bring up, like, certain positions that they're short on, it just kind of, like, you know, makes me cringe a little more because they have like so many areas that they have to address. But yeah, I mean, you know, cornerback William Jackson is obviously kind of like one of the big names out there. He's probably gonna get a big deal from someone. I don't know if he'll be worth it, but like a couple under the radar guys that could be DJ Hayden. He played pretty well in the slot for Jacksonville. Yeah. So if they do want to keep Jackson outside, then I mean, I think that would be pretty sound decision. But I really think like this position in particular, you have to like invest a pretty hefty amount of money. So if you do want to, you know, put a lot of resource into it, then I think that going after William Jackson, it would be worth it. I think his 2017 season, he was really, really good. And I mean, he's been pretty good. The other years too. So I think he's certainly like on my radar. I mean, defensive line, I agree with you. I mean, losing K1 Short. So you have to figure out, who are some guys who could replace him on the interior. And I think you can get some cheap options, particularly on the defensive line, like a Morgan Fox who played pretty well for the Rams. And then you can look at maybe, a couple other of these guys like a Devon Godshaw who played for Miami. He's again a rotational type guys. I don't really think you're going to find your kind of elite interior defensive lineman in this free agent class. And even in the draft itself, this isn't a very strong interior defensive line class. So, you invested in Derek Brown, Bravion Roy had a solid season. So I think you can figure out a way to get like a few of these cheap guys, like I said earlier. I'm just giving you some names that can kind of be rotational options. I think that's probably the best way to go about it.
Yeah.
And then linebacker too, they're going to have to figure out a way to, I don't know who's out there.
Definitely. I mean, they're looking at a situation where three of their, you know, contributors, Stanford, Taylor and Whitehead, of course, Whitehead for the best probably at this point, are free agents and are heading out the door, and they're going to have to make some decisions there in terms of where they go in terms of, is it Jermaine Carter and then Shaq Thompson? Of course, they're Vienna's, you know, they're very multiple on defense, Billy. So don't know if you need, you know, three cog guys there anymore. It's more of a nickel type of defense. You're going to have two standard backers and Chin plays a lot of hybrid. But here's another question I have for you. Trey Boston suddenly gone. And I thought, you know, he's been pretty solid. Now, you know, you and I have had this conversation about Trey. Some of the angles, some of the angle pursuits haven't been great. But in general, he's one of the more underrated free safeties in the league. And all of a sudden, you're sitting there with a void. Where does that put them in terms of the safety position? Does that – Chin is not a Trey Boston type. I mean, let's just be honest. He's a much different player than Trey. And I don't think people make the assumption you're going to slide him back into Trey's spot. That's just not what you're getting there. What do they do at free safety right now?
Great question. It's difficult to know. I mean, under contractor Burris and Chin, obviously, and Sam Franklin was okay. Anthony Harris is the one guy who I think could replace who could replace Boston as a middle of the field guy with range and plenty of talent to really patrol the back. And he had a down year last season on the franchise tag, so he's probably going to be expensive. A player that they could sign on a one-year deal, on a prove-it deal almost, is Malik Hooker. I was very high on him coming out of Ohio State, and he had some good moments with the Colts. And I think if you can sign him on a one-year prove-it deal because of his injury history, I don't expect him to get like a 3 or 4 year deal. I mean, if a team gives him that, then God bless them. But I think like on 1 year, like $8 to $9 million deal, Hooker would be a really solid option. He's 25 years old. Like I said, he has the capacity to play that deep end. His range is outstanding when he does play. And I think that a guy like him having the draft status of being a first round pick will also appeal to some coaches and scouts who are really hoping that he can reinvigorate some of the talent that he showed earlier in his career.
Well, as another guy, I think you've mentioned Jaquiski Tartt in the past. I believe he's a free agent as well.
I feel like, I think Tartt is probably like on the same level as like a Anthony Harris where you're expecting him. I think John Johnson of the Rams is another guy. Like those three guys I feel like are going to get a pretty substantial deal this offseason. So I don't know. It just feels like, I mean, if they do sign him, like I would love it. Like, don't get me wrong. I just feel like for what Carolina's resources currently are, I think that they're going to have to search for other avenues to address that position. I have no issue in particular with cutting Trey Boston. I think my biggest issue is them cutting him and not figuring out a replacement. I know there's always the, you always want to have the tangible factor of doing right by the player, so Boston goes into free agency early. But I think that this was a situation where Carolina should have just kept Boston in the event that they find a replacement in free agency.
No question about it. It's fascinating this entire offseason, Billy, because you've got a number of possibilities at quarterback, as we talked about. In terms of the cap situation, you know, you're looking at a lot of potential changes here with where the cap will fall in terms of the ceiling here. We'll have to monitor that. But the estimated cap space right now from Spotrac is $20 million. So, again, you know, that's different based on who you look at, based on what sources you read. But that's about where they're at now. Biggest cap hit right now, 12% of the cap, is Teddy Bridgewater. That's a $22 million hit they're taking this year. $20 million in dead cap if they were to put him loose. Obviously, they're trying to get a trade there so they don't have to take that hit. I've seen a lot about McCaffrey being mentioned in these trades, Billy, or these hypothetical trades or reported potential trades. And I thought Bill Voth brought up a pretty good point that it would cost them quite a bit to trade him away. It's going to be a little bit financially responsible to do it because they're going to take a bit of a hit there to get him out in the trade market. It's 1 year later now. McCaffrey got the big deal. Obviously, he's going to make quite a bit of money here over the next few years. And where do you stand with McCaffrey? I mean, obviously, you know, he got dinged up. You want him back. You want to see his value. Where are you with McCaffrey? Do you think he plays here this year? And if he does, what can Joe Brady do to maximize his value? Because they're paying him big money, Billy.
Yeah, it's a great question. Just seems like they're going to keep him this year. And I mean, just, I don't know. I think that they'll keep him. Now, what I would do is obviously I think that, you know, any running back, as we proved last year, that this position is pretty replaceable. Yes, no running back, you're not going to find the match of production. You're not going to have a running back go for like 1,000 yards receiving and 1,000 yards rushing. I get that. But I think just speaking from a, you know, football standpoint of allocating your, not only your resources off the field, like your financial resource, but also on the field, your target distribution and whatnot. I feel like just, you know, a running back like a Mike Davis plus like another receiver, whether in the draft or free agency, would kind of divvy up the target share a little better, as opposed to just focusing on a DJ Moore and Christian McCaffrey. It really kind of takes away a lot of your options. because teams, our defenses are just going to focus on those two. So again, this team is limited with their assets. So if there's an opportunity to trade McCaffrey for a decent pick, I think that should be explored. Now, if it isn't, which I don't think it will be, then I think that you just have to, you know, use him like you were planning to use him last year. And that's, you know, split him time between receiver and running back and, you know, give him some time off. We now know that he does get injured. You know, a lot of people told me his first couple years that he's, this guy will never get injured and all this stuff. But I mean, last year just proved it. Running backs, especially McCaffrey, they like to get injured a lot because they carry a heavy workload. So yeah, I think that, you know, signing another running back, maybe like in a free agency or late in the draft to kind of, you know, help McCaffrey would be ideal if they do end up keeping him, which is what I think they will do.
I think it's a smart move. You know, I don't know what they'll do with Mike Davis. Obviously, I think he's going to try to move on and cash in, and good for him. It seems that's the way that's going, but we'll have to see. Just wanted to mention this too. We didn't mention Trent Scott was re-signed on February 23rd. Trent played some games last year, left tackle, played pretty well, but I think you and I both agree he's not a long-term answer, but might be the stopgap. You never know. Might be who they rely on for a year if they can't get a premium left tackle. But I think we both agree that Taylor Moten is a right tackle, and it would be in his best interest and the team's to keep him out on that right side.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that.
All right. Well, Billy, this was fun. We will do it again. I'm going to try to get a guest on here in the next few days and get a little more extensive breakdown of what's going on with these Panthers and talk a little more about what's going on around the league. But, Billy, I enjoyed it, man. This is fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Glad to do this again.
Been too long, man. Let's not wait 2 weeks again, huh?
Well, the NFL offseason is about to go into a hyperdrive here in the next few days.
Yes, sir. We'll have a lot to talk about. For Billy Marshall, this is John Ellis. Thanks again for listening to The Roar right here on Blue Wire.